We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our church is located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway, and our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6 p.m., and Wednesday at 7. We would love for you to join us. Also, on February 21st at 6 p.m., Michael Combs will be there in concert. Please come out and worship with us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Brother Oscar McCamus.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. Now this is where I want you to see. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed or released a little season or a while. Now, I read those three verses there in the book of Revelation, but I'm not wanting to deal with the prophecy that is there, as even though we might mention that I do believe that one day that Satan will be chained or thrown in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years while the millennium's going on here upon this earth. But that's not what I'm here to talk about this morning. I want you to look there, and if I would take a text, I would look in verse 2. I want to talk about Satan the seducer. Satan the seducer, the enemy of our soul, is given four names in that one verse there. He's called the dragon, he's called the serpent, he's called the devil, and then he's called Satan. And so to deny the reality of the devil as a person. Now, and I want you to see how important this is. To deny the reality of the devil as a person creates more problems concerning sin and suffering than are created by saying or granting the reality of such a person. The Satan, as we know, is the highest enemy of God. And by the same token, we know that Satan is the highest enemy of God's children. So if the case is that that we are in a warfare, and that's what God says in His Word about us as Christians, that we're in a battle, that we're in a constant warfare. And so if you're in a war, you have to have an enemy. And if you're having enemy, if you don't know very much about that enemy, then I figure that enemy will defeat you. So I believe that the more that we know about the devil, our enemy, his ways, his tactics, his deceptions, his nature, and all of these things, I believe that it will better equip us to fight and be victorious in this battle that we're in against such an enemy as we have. So the Bible doctrine concerning Satan is very practical. Few subjects will better and this subject right here and very few subjects that you could talk about in the Word of God here will drive us to utter dependence upon God and drive us to prayer. When you really realize what a powerful enemy that is out to get you and out to destroy you and out to defeat you, if you really realize what a powerful enemy that he is, I believe that he would cause you to depend more on God, and I believe that it would cause you to spend more time in prayer. So it's the teaching of the Scripture that Satan, a distinct angelic presence, sinned in heaven, and we all know that he led with him when he sinned a great number of angels. And so one reliable commentary, I believe that the revolt was a result, and this may be true, was a result of the angels being put lower than man. And also, because you know what pride will do whenever that somebody maybe is expected to be a little higher than you, then that pride bulls up, and maybe that's what caused them to follow Satan and revolt against God, and we know was cast out of heaven. And it also accounts for the animosity and the hatred that Satan has toward the human race. And so God announced that the new creature, man, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And when he made that announcement about that a new creature who was for a season a little lower than the angels would ultimately to be put above the angels. And so, having been expelled from heaven, became because he refused to submit to the divine commands of God, Satan determined to wage a perpetual warfare against man to stop the purpose of God. In other words, whenever he was kicked out of heaven, he had a plan that he was going to destroy God's purpose concerning man. He vowed to bring about the downfall of the human race. And if he could make man the enemy of God, and if he could make God the enemy of man, then man would become the Satan's subject, and he would still be higher than man. So with that thought in mind there, and what he is trying to do, turn man against God and God against man. And we know that he is very succeeding in turning man against God in our society in which we live. Satan is a real individual with all the personal characteristics, and so he does what only a person can do, and he has what only a person can have. Now I want you to see some of these names here. And I think these names will teach us a little bit about his ways and his character and his action and his ways and his deception. And I want you to see, first of all, in John chapter 8 and verse 44, he is called the father of lies. And it says, as for his children, that he is the one that has given them all the deceptions and all the frauds and all the swindles and all the slanders and all the backbiting and all of these things. They all come from the devil. Now, all men of good sense, you don't have to be sane. You just have to be, you don't have to have an education. You just have to have some good sense. Some good common sense, as we say here in the country, have a little bit of horse sense. And anybody that has just a little bit of horse sense, whether they're enlightened by the Bible or whether they're either a heathen or unbeliever, all the falsehoods and all deception and all these kind of things, they have noticed that they are deadly and a harmful influence behind those kind of things, and they don't have their origin in the human race. Now, don't take a very smart person to see that when you see some of these awful, horrible, terrific things that are committed, you know that that's not within a human. That could not have originated in a human. Something that mean and something that evil and something that destructive could not have originated in a human. So it must have come from an outside influence. It must have originated somewhere else. It must be someone else that has a control or has a power, has an influence over an individual that would cause them to do, and you think you've heard the worst that you could ever hear, and then you turn on the TV and you hear something even more worse, even more gross, even more wicked, and even more heartless, and it just goes on and on and on. And so we all would admit, whether we're Christians or not, that there's something behind. They've got to be some other kind of a influence. And so I want us to know that demonology is as certain as angelology. That they are. You say, preacher, you believe in demons? Absolutely. And so we want you to understand what we're saying. So let's analyze some of these devil's names. First of all, there in that verse, he's called Satan. And so he is the commander-in-chief of all the evil forces, and was and is admitted to come before God to accuse God's children. The devil is constantly going before God making accusations against the children of God. He is constantly doing that. Whenever you have a bad thought, or you do something wrong, or your temper flares up, or something that is ungodly, or something that is contrary to the Word of God, then there is the devil before God saying, look at your child. Look at what he done. Look at what he's saying. Look at how he's acting. So the devil is constantly, the Bible says, appearing before God, accusing God's children. And then he's called Beelzebub. Here Satan is portrayed as a false leader occupied with a clean-up campaign for the soul. As Beelzebub, the devil, he seeks to get his followers to clean up, to put away evil habits. In other words, to become good moral people, and you remain, stay away from that cleansing blood of Christ. That's not necessary. You just turn over a new leaf. You just quit doing some of the bad habits that you're doing. Just become a good moral person. Pay your debts. Love your wife. Love your husband. Be good to each other. Love your neighbor and all those kind of things. And that's good enough to get to heaven. That's what the word, that's in his title as Beelzebub, that's what he tries to do. And we know that is so prevalent in the land in which we live today. You talk to ask the people, ask them if they're saved. They say, well, I'm doing the best I can. I live a good life. I don't do anybody wrong. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do any of these kind of things. And so many people are being led by this clean-up attitude. And then he's called the dragon. And the dragon portrays figuratively a person who has no regard for life or no regard for property of another. In other words, as a dragon, Satan is full of ferociousness and cunning. And so Revelation 12 and verse 9, if you want to look at to him, force is combined with craftiness. In other words, if he cannot achieve his purpose at once by power, he waits his time. And what does he do? We see that he deceives. In fact, he said that to deceive the whole world. And what a power of deception must reside in him when under his influence, the third part of the angels of heaven, or the third part of the stars of heaven, will be made to fall. Pretty much power, isn't it? A great power. You say, where in the world is that? Verse 4. It says, and then he's called the serpent. It's just as well the figure of health and renovation as death. And since it changes his skin every year and it ejects its venom. We all know that a serpent or a snake, that it sheds its skin every year. And it's talking about, as we see this, and so this double peculiarity right here, and this double character is indicated not only in language, but also in myth and sculpture, and not only in that, but in modes of worship. The serpent might have been a lovely creature, and we heard, as you read the account in Genesis, that the serpent was the most lovely of all the creatures, and how that it was a lovely creature to look at, and adorned with beautiful spots, and bright, shining, golden color. But the deception. His name reminds us of how practiced Satan is in every evil act. Genesis 3:1, that he was more cunning than all the creatures. He was crafty. He was deception. And to his cunning he adds great speed. So that he is quick to assail at any moment, darting down on one of us or like a hawk upon a poor chicken. And we understand, and don't misunderstand me, Satan is not omnipresent. He's not like God. God is omnipresent. God can be everywhere at one time. But Satan is not omnipresent. But by that majestic craft of his, it's hard to say where he's not. See, he can't be everywhere but one at one time. But he's pretty fast, and it's hard to say where he's not. And so this is what he's speaking of here as we talk about the dragon. And what is he? First of all, the Bible says that he is a murderer. Look what he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. John 8:44. Cain killed his brother. What caused that outrageous crime? Who was responsible for Cain killing his brother? 1 John 3:11-12 said, for this is the message you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Who is that wicked one? And slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. A deadly person seeks to drag everyone else down with him in the corruption and the destruction that awaits him, and that's Satan. And that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to pull the human race. He knows what his end is. He knows what ultimately that he's going to end up. And you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to pull everyone of us as individuals, as man. And when I say man, as I say, I mean the human race. He's trying to pull every one of the human race down with him. And so all the lies, if you're here this morning, you're unsaved, all those lies that the devil whispers to you and tells you that you don't need to be saved today, you can put it off, you've got plenty of time, you're a good person, you don't need to go up there to that altar, that don't make no difference, you can do it in your heart, and on and on and on and on goes his lies, and all, behind all of that, all he's after, his main aim is just ultimately for you to end up in that same place that he knows he's going to end up. And that is in the lake of fire. And you don't need to listen to his lies. The devil, the dragon, the serpent. Listen to what I'm saying. Oh, the devil, the Bible says he's a liar. Look what John 8:44 said. There is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. The devil is the enemy of truth. The devil is the first deserter from the truth. The devil is the one who did not continue in the truth. He hates the truth. He's a liar. All his temptations are carried out by lies, calling good evil and evil good. We know that in the last days, the Bible said that was what's going to happen. The Bible says that in the last days, people will call good evil and evil good. Boy, if you don't see that today, then you've not been watching. Everything that the Bible says is bad, the world today is saying good. And praising and applauding men for standing up and saying they're this and saying they're that. And when it is very contrary, thank God for Franklin Graham that took a stand and said it's wrong. We need some more of our religious leaders that's got the courage to stand up and say this is wrong. And call wrong wrong, and call bad bad, and call good good. And when men speak a lie, they borrow it from Satan. When you lie, you know where that originated from? You say, well, preacher, it's just a little white lie. I never have saw that in the Bible. I never have been able to distinguish a little white lie from a big black lie. I don't know the difference. I think a lie is a lie. And if you lie, you're a liar. And liar is something that the Satan that originated with Satan. So you borrowed that from him. God deals in truth. God deals in telling the truth. There's nothing that bothers me any more than a person that does not tell the truth, that lies to get what they want. Or to deliver them from facing the consequences of something they have done. I say, if you do wrong, admit it, and confess it, and stand and take the consequences. Lie never does any good for anyone. Somebody asked me about somebody and said, how do you know when he's lying? I said, if his lips are moving, he's lying. And so that's the way that it is with a lot of people. Some of these psychopaths and all of these people. And it comes from the devil. And then he says, he's called the enemy. Matthew 13:25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Sown tares. What is tares? It was a plant back then that looked just exactly like the wheat. You couldn't tell them apart by looking at them. And God said, don't you go out there and pull up the tares, because when you're out there pulling up the tares, you can't tell them apart because they look exactly alike, and you may pull up the wheat. He said, let me, at harvest time, I'll separate the tares from the wheat. I preached a message on that one time about tares and about the wheat. They look alike. They sing alike. They dress alike. They smell alike. They comb their hair alike. And you can't tell the difference. And that is what is so, destructive in the family of God is. That probably in every church, in every local assembly, the devil plants a tare. He plants somebody that looks like a Christian, acts like a Christian, talks like a Christian, sings like a Christian, do the things that a Christian does, but they're not a Christian. They're of their father, the devil. And the devil has planted them there to choke out the life of the real wheat, the Christians. And that is the enemy, he says. They come in, the enemy will come in and sow tares. Be careful. Everybody that carries a Bible under their arm and quote John 3:16 is not a Christian. Everybody that carries a Bible and talks and has the vernacular and talk the language, that don't mean that they're saved. They don't believe that they believe the truth of the virgin birth, and the only way to be saved is through the death and the burial and the resurrection and the blood of being applied to your heart and your life. So he is planting tares. Satan is a sworn enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that is to the glory of God. He's an enemy to anything that you say or you do that'll bring glory to God. He's against that. He's an enemy to the feel of this world, which he endeavors to make his own by sowing the tares in it. Now you listen to me. Ever since he became a wicked spirit himself, he has been industrious to promote wickedness and has made it his business to counterwork all that Christ has done. See what the devil does. He counterfeits everything that Jesus has done. He's a counterfeiter. And boy, a lot of times, and I don't know, you come up here and you hand me a counterfeit $20 bill and a real $20 bill and tell me to pick the right one. I couldn't do it. They look the same to me. But they have a way to determine that and detect that now. That's what I'm saying. The devil sows people that are leading people astray and getting and talking to people and telling people stuff contrary to the church and talking about the church and putting the church down and talking about the preacher and talking about all these kind of things and all time anti-negative about everything of the work of God and they're filtrating your mind with all this deception, all these lies, trying their very best. The devil has control over that person too, and he's a tare. And what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to choke the life out of you and the joy. You listen to what I'm saying. When somebody calls and wants to demean the church and the preacher and what they're doing, what they're teaching, you don't need to listen to that. You don't need to listen to any of that. That's of the devil. That's of the devil. God deals in truth. God deals in lifting up and building people up, edifying. He's not in destruction and tearing down, and making people and tearing them down. So we see here, he does all of this. When Satan is doing his greatest meanness, he endeavors most to conceal himself. Look what he's called the tempter in Matthew 4:1-3. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. It's the principal work and the business of Satan to solicit men to sin and to tempt them to deny or to call into question the being of God. Satan tries to get you to deny the existence of God, trying to get you to doubt in your mind whether God is real or not. Trying to get you to question whether there really is a God in heaven who loves you and who cares about you, who is mindful of you, and who has promised, made you all of these promises that He'll care for you. And so here, and I want you to see here next, I want you to see His position. It says He's a prince of this world. Look in John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Jesus called our enemy a prince. Many people believe Satan is a character with red skin, with two horns and a pitchfork and a red suit and all these kind of wild looking eyes. And who is responsible for this impression? Most children, you draw me a picture of in your mind what you think Satan looks like, the devil looks like. That's what they would draw. They would draw a man with a pitchfork and red eyes and wild looking eyes and all these kind of things. But who's behind that? Who wants us to believe that? Who wants you to believe that's kind of a being that he is? It's evident that the devil himself is the originator of this ideal. As long as we look for one that fits this description, we'll never be able to identify the slander when he does appear. And so a prince is usually reared in an atmosphere of luxury. He is well educated. His next step is to the throne occupied by his father. That's who a prince is. Yet Satan is indeed a prince, but he's an evil one. And so the Bible also calls him the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. You say, preacher, why are these people that are good moral people, why won't they get saved? Why won't they get saved? How come they can't see the urgency? It's because the God of this world, who is the devil, has blinded their minds to them that believe not. The devil has convinced them and blinded them to the urgency of being saved. He has blinded them to the need of being saved. He has blinded them to the reality that all men are sinners and all men need to be saved. And so the devil is a powerful enemy. He has a lot of our people today, a lot of our family here sitting here this morning that you love more than you love your own life are lost on their way to a devil's hell. Good people. Good moral people. And you know why they won't be saved. The devil has their mind.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church or the upcoming Michael Combs concert, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.